All righty, let's open our Bibles to Mark 4, please. Mark 4, we've been looking at this parable on the sower. And we said several weeks ago when we began this series that the reason why Jesus told parables was not to clarify, but to hide truths from certain people. Who all remembers that, right? He wanted to keep certain truths of the kingdom. In fact, the book has been written about the parable in Mark 4. And the title of that book was entitled Secrets of the Kingdom. Well, they are truly secrets. They were not for the masses, but they were for the disciples. And so Jesus gives the parable at the beginning of Mark 4. He gives the explanation part. We've looked at it. The sower, the planter, is broadcasting seed. Not hard for us to understand in an agricultural setting. The seed, which is the Word of God, lands on four different types of soil, right? And those four different types of soil are basically four different types of heart conditions. And I don't mean physical heart conditions, but rather spiritual heart conditions. And some reject the word, some receive it temporarily, but then there all these other things come in. Weeds grow up and choke the word, its effectiveness in a person's life. And so and then there's one we can loosely say off of this translation, if we want to interpret it as such, that maybe one out of four people are going to get it, have that aha moment, and be converted and be healed of their ways, okay? So having said that, okay, I want to begin by asking us a question. Why is it that some people, their spirituality is steadily on the increase, and other people's spirituality is like just constantly a whiplash experience? Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And some other people can't seem to get off the ground spiritually. I have a friend of mine that back in the college days, you know, I've got to believe that he's closer now to the Lord, but he was looking for what seemed like to me, every external spiritual stimulus to get him. The way he phrased it is, I need a jump start in my relationship with God. I never told him this, but all along I thought, well, then jump start it. Why are we surrendering something as precious as our relationship with God to circumstances or to something outside of us? Can I get a witness? Who agrees with me tonight that we are as close to God as we choose to be, not as He chooses us to be? Right? You know, if Jesus had his brothers, we would all be like John. We'd be leaning up against his breast, wouldn't we? John the Revelator that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and also was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we'd all be that close, but it all falls on us. Okay, so let's explore that for a little bit. All right, so point number one, we are as close to God as we choose to be. All righty. So that's point number one. Point number two, and we'll look at the scripture here shortly, is that we are the sum total of our daily habits. Who would agree with me on that? Yep. My dentist tells me that. Usually when they're cleaning my teeth every 6 months, the gal that the dental assistant, she's cleaning my teeth, and she says that there are patients that go to the dentist that she cleans their teeth out that swear that they brush every day and that they floss every day, but that gal knows better because she's looking at the proof in the teeth. Right? You can't fool a dentist when it comes to teeth and bleeding gums. Yoo-hoo! And she asks me on occasion, I don't know why, I don't know if she's testing me, do you floss? I said, I floss every night. And then by the time she's done, she said, I can tell there's not a lot of what she calls calculus buildup between your teeth. There's not a lot. So the cleaning is pretty easy because I floss and I try to get as much of that particle or particles of food, leftovers, out, so that they don't decompose and create tartar between the teeth. I bet you didn't expect a dental lesson tonight. But in that aspect, would you agree with me? In that aspect, my dental daily habits are the sum total of the test comes every time I get my teeth cleaned. Right? This is going to be a good teaching. What is the test of whether you and I are truly investing time, energy into our daily habits of spiritual disciplines, as in prayer, as in reading the word, studying the word, fellowshipping with other believers? And listen, imperative in all this is not just he being a hearer of the word, James chapter 1, but a doer of the word. Right? Jesus said in Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I will liken what a wise man is. You know, he talked about a foolish builder, a wise builder. The foolish builder made a quick home, built it on what kind of sand? The wise builder took the time and he built it on rock. And Jesus said, the elements, the weather will test the quality of that foundation. Life will test the quality of our habits. Who believes that? You know, I hit the gym. I thankful that I do what I do. And sometimes when sickness tries to come on me, and you know, I'm not saying I don't get sick. I do. But exterior, my muscular frame, I can't remember who I was talking to. Oh, Miss Robin. I said, Miss Robin, I don't look chubby, do I? She's like, no. She says, but you do have a dad bod. Looks like Cynthia feeds you. Who knows what a dad bod is? Seems like if you read some of the memes and believe some of the memes on social media, which I don't miss, apparently a lot of ladies like dad bods, but that we'll leave that alone. Anyway, sorry, babe. Okay, we'll leave that alone. Anyway, so the point is, we are the sum total of our daily habits. True or false?
True. We can't see that. Thank you.
Can you see it now? All right. Sorry. It's like a parable. I'm keeping it hidden from you, Jim.
Parable.
Oh, sorry, Miss Carol. I want her to see it, but I don't want you to see it, rascal. Daily habits. So habits are important. Listen carefully, church family. Habits are important. Our spiritual habits, rather, are important to how close we are to the Lord. Yes or no? Yes. So if I do not have spiritual habits... Why do I say habits? A lot of people, they mystify spirituality, and they feel that spirituality should always be non-planned. It should always be spontaneous. It should never be carved out. It should just happen when the Lord's will is right. Like the Quakers. You know, the Quakers used to gather around back in the day, and their church service never started until somebody felt like the Spirit of God was moving them. Then they got up and began to preach or begin to sing, but not until they felt the Spirit was moving. You know, a lot of Christians live their lives like that. Well, I don't do anything. I don't read my Bible unless I feel the Spirit move upon my heart. Is that true, church family? Should we be doing that? No. We require habits, all right? Now, under habits, let's talk about this. There are three things that we need. To get close to God, number one, we need what? Well, that's supposed to read Desiree. No, I'm teasing. We're supposed to have desire. Doesn't anything worth pursuing begin with a desire? Right? I desire to want to be close to God. It begins with a desire. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Early in my walk with the Lord, I had a lot of desire to get close to God. I had a passion for Jesus. I had a zeal for the Lord. But who understands with me and agrees with me, like Paul said in Romans chapter 10, that zeal without knowledge is not good? Right? So now, in my walk with God, I went from desire to the second one, discipline. Now, in my walk, I have a lot more discipline than I do desire. Who would rather have the discipline in your life than the desire? If you could only choose one, thankfully we don't have to just settle for one. I would much rather have the discipline, because that's, listen carefully, the desire is the inspiration, the discipline is the perspiration. I'm doing something with my life to get closer to God. It's not just a feeling, it's not just a longing, it's not just a passion, right? It is something that I'm doing, that I'm practicing daily for me to get close to God. And if we practice these two, especially when you get to discipline, listen, that discipline will eventually turn into, who would like to read that? Delight. Don't you want your relationship with God to be a sheer delight, not drudgery, and not, oh God, I gotta pray again. Or, you know, it is a delight. Now, granted, there are days, to be quite honest with you, that when I read my Bible, I don't know why, it's my ADD or something, I'll read like five verses and I'll stop and I'll say, what did I just read? So I have to reread, go back, right? And then reread them slowly and then go to the next ones, and then my mind starts to wander and I'm like, okay, stop, we need to go back up. Now, I've got to admit, you know, I'm reading through the Torah right now. I've already read through Deuteronomy, through Numbers, through Joshua. Well, that's not a part of the Torah, through Leviticus. But when I was going through Numbers, all those numbers, and this is the tribe they number, I'm like, gosh, so I just kind of skimmed through those because there's really no application for my life. But when it comes to other stuff, I need to be paying attention to what I do. But it is a delight, even though I might have moments in my habits, while I'm practicing my habits, that I don't feel super inspired. But, you know, I'll tell you what, in the running world, they say, you know, strong athletes don't require inspiration. I don't require inspiration. I've got discipline. Discipline will carry me through days when my body's not feeling it. And listen, the older I get, the more those days multiply. Believe me, right, bestie?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially on a Peloton. Yeah. So it's got to be discipline. You know, my mind has got to be stronger than my body. Today I planked for 2 minutes. Don't laugh. But if you try planking, you start shaking. It builds your back, your lower back, and your core. But what happens then is discipline will keep you on track spiritually. All right, this is kind of like a nuts and bolts message, but we are the sum total of our daily habits. Okay, let's go back to Mark. Okay, so far so good, everybody.
Yes.
All right, so let's go to the good ground. He talks about the roadside ground is hard, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and then in verse 20, but these are the ones sown on, everybody say it, good ground. Notice carefully, those who hear the word, what are the next two words? Accept it. Okay, so I'm going to erase all this. Number one, these people hear the word. Didn't they all have the opportunity to hear the word? Who would like to read Matthew chapter 13, verse 23? Okay, so they hear it, and then what happens? They understand it. How important is understanding a message? Can you accept something you don't understand? No, I can't. I cannot. Sometimes I sit in the interdisciplinary team meeting with a doctor, with a social worker, with nurses, a head of director of nurses, and I'm, you know, like the chaplain, and they talk about all this medical code that just goes over my head, so I don't understand what they're talking about, but they know among themselves what they're talking about. So it's important to understand what we hear. Number two, it is important that what we understand, that we do what, church family? Accept it. I must understand it. I must accept it. And number three, let's go to Luke 8 now, please. Who would like to read verse 15, please? There you go. So number three is they hear the word and they do what? Keep it with perseverance or patience. Right? I keep it. When you keep God's commandments, what does that mean? You obey His commandments, right? Didn't Jesus tell the rich young ruler, keep the law? So if I'm going to keep the word, I'm going to obey the word, but do I just obey the word temporarily? I obey the word how often? Always with perseverance. In good times, in bad times, like I was hearing a sermon today, I live streamed some of the services, but when a guy says, when you get a promotion on payday, when your son or daughter gets a scholarship, you know, those are the good days. Or when you are overlooked for that promotion, you still obey the word. We keep it, right? So do you see it? This is what constitutes the good ground. Okay? Last point. Point number three. True or false? True, right? You're a farmer's wife, bestie. Yeah. So do these farmers go on expeditions to find the right type of soil? All they need is just the plot of land, don't they? Several acres of it. And then they themselves work the ground. Right? They till it. They put the blades in the soil, break it up. All the stuff that goes with it, they plant the seed, they drill seed with their expensive machinery. I remember one time I had a church member, he was an elder of the church that I was pastor of many years ago in Kansas, and he was a farmer. And his dad owned all kinds of ground, and so it was like a family operation. He had me go into one of his John Deere combines, and everything was state of the art. I mean, this guy had surround sound in the cab. He had the right temperature. He knew what the temperature in the ground was. Am I telling the truth, Bestie? They can determine so much. The content of moisture in the ground, they said the readouts were just unbelievable. I was just in awe of how much that technology gave you. But it is like that. Thank God for technology. How many of y'all are thankful that we don't live before the Industrial Revolution? Right? That we have cars, that we can fly, that we don't have to, you know, commute in a horse and buggy, unless you live in Arthur, but that's beside the point. But anyway, so that is, those machines are sold because you can take any kind of ground and make it good ground if you're willing to invest the time. So to answer the question that we begin with, what makes some people closer to God than others? They have chosen to make their heart good ground by their daily habits. Come on, somebody. They had desire, they had discipline, and it's become a delight in their lives. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this word. We pray that you help us, Lord, with the practicality of it. Help us to be committed to those disciplines, Lord. Lord Jesus, we need the intake of your word on a daily basis. We need to commune with you in fellowship. We need to commune with other believers, Lord. Iron sharpens iron. We thank you for all this in your precious name, God. Amen.